hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
You can't?
I can now. Hi, everyone. It is a wonderful day in the land of amongst friends.
Hallelujah.
Anywho.
Hey, hello.
Today is going to be a great day.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Why is that?
I can't hear Derek.
You can't?
Are you serious?
I can't hear Derek. So we're going to have to figure out which one is him and turn up the mic.
Turn me up, son.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
What up? Just D in the building?
Just D.
And Breezy.
What's happening? How are you doing?
All right. So
it's a celebration tonight.
It's a celebration tonight.
All right. Celebrate.
However, we're going to keep it real, and we're going to put everything on the table tonight because this is going to be a sensitive topic.
I'm scared.
Don't be scared. Let's just be real with the family.
Yeah, I'm keep it 100.
He said, if you're scared, go to church. Well, all
right.
If we go to church.
Slaughter the lamb.
If we go to church, be the afraid.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Well, while we are preparing to get this conversation started, I want to go ahead and make sure that our callers and our listeners and our fans know how to get in contact with us. And so the number to reach us is 760-683-2662. When you call in, press 1 if you would like to be a part of the conversation. If not, just sit and listen. Also, we have posted both on our Amongst Friends page and also in our Facebook group where you can click the link to listen to us via your internet. All right. Also, we are tweeting live tonight, and so you can hit us at amongst_friends, and you can always get in on the conversation in our Facebook group. Someone needs to put something on mute. But get in our Facebook group. It is called Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. Get in and be a part of the conversation. All right. So this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. This is a pretty sensitive subject. It's very near and dear to my heart.
I'm a little nervous. What are we going with?
So tonight we're going to talk about self-worth and setbacks.
Okay.
On the path to greatness.
Okay.
And so while typically when we deal with self-worth, we talk about relationships and we're talking about those not the platonic relationships or relationships that we have with family, those between a man and a woman. So typically when you're talking about self-worth, that's where we go. And we will go there tonight. However, I want it to be broad, and we talk about everything when we're dealing with self-worth.
The whole gamut.
Yeah. And then I want us to kind of lean on over and start talking about the setbacks, you know, for you feeling the way you felt or going through whatever you went through. What are some of the setbacks? And then after we talk about the setbacks, I want to talk about, you know, like, what are some of the things that help you get out of your rut? I mean, like, did it crush you and you were out for the count for a couple of years? Or was it an aha moment and it made you become a better person? So those are the things that we want to talk about tonight. And I really want, you know, our callers, again, you can call in at 760-683-2662. Call in and let's really discuss this. So, jumping right in. So, I'm going to start it off. I was in a relationship, and this relationship was a little bit different. It started differently. The person was not necessarily someone I was typically I'm not going to say I wasn't attracted to him because I was very attracted to him, but he just wasn't the type.
He didn't do it for you.
Well, no, it wasn't that he didn't do it for me. This was the first time I ventured wholeheartedly in dealing with someone who was blue collar. And I know people are frowning up their face saying, blue collar, what's wrong with blue collar? You know?
Speak your real.
But I say that because that was one of our sticking points. He would always throw that up in my face. He would always be, you know, like, you are white collar and I'm just a blue collar dude. Okay, first of all, those are your insecurities. Those are not mine. But he was.
That was his setback.
That was, well.
Well, for him, dealing with you.
Whatever his issues were. But for this one, I decided that I was going to go in with an open mind, open heart, and kind of just let the relationship play itself. You know, I wasn't going to try and control the situation. That was a little hard, but I was going to kind of let it take its place. I wasn't going to be concerned with what everyone else thought a relationship should be, like how it should go and all these kinds of things, you know.
And that's the issue. A lot of times relationships.
It is a very big issue. But I said that this time it was going to be different. You know, they say if you continue to do the same things over and over again, why are you expecting different results? So this time I said I'm going to change it up. I'm going to be less vocal, and I'm going to let it flow.
But this goes back into toxic relationships.
Well, so
go ahead.
We're going great. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking, we're vibing, or so I'm thinking. We're talking, we're vibing, we're planning for the future. Things are taking place. I'm excited, and I'm like, woohoo! This is working.
Right.
Everybody who has been telling me that I needed to change it up, y'all were right. And then every now and then, there would be a situation where he would say little things like, that was stupid of you to do that. And I'd be like,
excuse me?
Excuse me? Deidre is not stupid.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I'm fairly intelligent. So I'm going to let that pass. Now, my gut was saying,
I understand.
Hold up.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm going to play this off, but my gut was saying something different. And then it became, everything was wrong. I'm doing it wrong. Like the couch isn't, put a throw over the couch and it's not the right color. Or we go out to dinner and I pick up a fork and I don't eat it right. And it was just little things over and over, just little petty things that I was just like, okay. And so literally, guys, I started not doing certain things. And in my mind, I'm like, well, this is what makes him happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I should do this. Even though everything in me is saying, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. But then, you know, I'm getting, you know, some feedbacks from my friends, and they're saying, chill, you know, relax,
mm-hmm.
go with the flow. But bits and pieces of me starting to crumble. I'm starting to lose myself.
Mm-hmm.
But all for sake of being in a relationship. So here we are almost a year and a half later, we were talking about marriage, we were talking about kids, like we were literally thinking about getting married on December the 13th in 2014.
That's
on a Saturday.
And that'd beat your ass if you'd have sit and did it.
I mean, so like everything was moving forward and I was, you know, I was happy that I was in a relationship, but I was like so depressed.
Well, let me ask you this. Did being in a relationship make you feel whole?
Well, no, it wasn't. I'm whole without a man. I'm whole.
Okay.
I'm already whole. Now,
good
that
shit.
I do know.
Good shit. Good
I
shit.
Do know I'm whole.
Good shit.
But I felt like I wanted someone to share in this great life that I have.
Okay.
It's not that I needed you, like, after I get this man,
well,
or after I get this kid.
But see, the whole thing I look at it is that they should be an accessory. So, like, anything that comes into your greatness,
right,
she be able to elevate you.
Yeah. So about that.
Okay, here we go.
There was no elevating.
Well, then there was no point in it.
Okay, but here's the thing. Well, no, that's not necessarily true. I don't agree with the fact that if I'm at this level and I'm living this great life, that you can be over here not doing what I'm doing and still be living a great life.
We're saying two different things. What I'm saying is you're living your great life, right? Now, somebody should be living their greatest life as well. Now, it doesn't necessarily equate to salary. It doesn't necessarily equivalent to that. I need you to bring your best to me.
But that doesn't always happen.
Well, then why are you there? Why are you settling?
You're right. You're settling. But I want to say, and, you know, and people can say whatever, however, or whatever they feel, but I think that there are, like, say, for instance, you meet someone after a divorce. Clearly, they're not going to be their best person. That doesn't mean that they can't, you know, like, they go up.
And this is why I say that everybody needs to take some time for themselves.
And, okay, so say this person has been divorced for 4 or 5 years.
There is no timeline. It's no timeline.
So this person is now forever broken?
Let me tell you, it's my learning therapy. Mm-hmm. From my therapist, everybody has their own level or their own time frame of grieving. And with relationships, you got to grieve them like you grieve somebody who's passed away. So at the end of the day, it may take you 2 months to get over somebody. It may take me 4 years, but my whole thing is I need to take that time.
And I'm not saying that you don't take the time. Now, I'm not saying that at all.
But where's the time frame as far as talk about, 4 years later?
No, what I'm saying is where you're saying take this time. You know what I'm saying?
Take it!
Yes, take it. I'm not disputing that, but I'm just saying that whenever you meet someone, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be in the greatest place in their life.
And they're not. And so I'm not nobody's savior, and I'm not trying to do it. But one of my friends is saying they can't see the link. So is there another way, in case that the other caller, other listeners are having the same problem? Like, how can we tell them listen in. I don't know.
They have access to your page?
They have access, but they said on our amongst friends they can't see it.
I'm saying, do they have access to your page? I'm asking a question.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to put the link on your page.
Perfect.
And then if it doesn't load there, then we will fix the problem.
Okay. I just wanted so that everybody can get access to that. I don't know if any of our other listeners are having the same problem.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We will work that out real long. This is what happens when you be moving too fast.
So you sent me the wrong link?
No.
Oh.
I'm posting in the wrong place.
Okay.
Anywho, as Breezy,
okay,
can you post the link on Derek's page?
I believe so.
Okay. So, I started dumbing down myself.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing things that I would normally not do. I started overlooking.
Was that to make him happy?
Well, yeah, it was to make him happy because when I did those things, he was content. When I would try and be Deidre, that's when we would get into the biggest arguments. But when I let everything flow and I was quiet and I didn't say a whole bunch and I just let however he wanted things to go, everything was good. Good in the, not good in I'm happy and he's happy. It was, there's no tension. And I am very much, and
so
y'all know this,
at that point
y'all know me,
yeah.
I don't do altercations. I walk away. So if you're arguing, what can I do to nip this in the bud? Oh, you don't want me to be Deidre? Okay, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I feel you.
So, my question. I've ended the relationship. Well, I've ended the relationship a couple of times because I did want a kid and I did want to be married and all these kind of stuff. And so it was like, oh my gosh, I got to start all over again. How long is this going to take?
But, you know, I'm not even going to try to get biblical with you. But with Sarah and Abraham.
Listen.
Hold on. Time out. Because we said we're going to keep it 100, right?
Okay, so I'm about to put him down.
No, with Sarah and Abraham.
That we had.
No, I'm telling you.
Where y'all were saying, and I was saying, what would Jesus do? And what was your response? I'm not Jesus.
No, I'm giving you a point that I'm about to give you right now.
Oh, okay. Clear. Real
okay.
Soon.
Now, what
real
I'm
soon.
Saying, what I'm saying is as far as Sarah and Abraham,
uh-huh.
Sarah didn't get pregnant till she was 90, nothing,
okay,
99.
Okay, so go ahead,
know?
Past that point. What,
my
point?
Point is, don't rush it, because
okay,
what's
so
going
again,
to happen
so
is
again,
going to be, is going to happen
what would Jesus
in God's
do?
Time.
And you know what y'all response was? I'm not Jesus. So let
yeah,
me, so
I'm
let,
not Jesus.
So let me tell you.
But I'm not
I ain't
gonna
no,
say Jesus.
I ain't no Mary. I ain't no Joseph.
What I'm saying is,
keep your point.
No.
Is
what
I'm saying.
What I'm
do you
saying
hear me?
Is.
Do you hear me?
Are
you
me?
Listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you cutting me off?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we're not going to do that.
So
what I'm saying is.
Jesse,
yeah.
This might be your friend still, but she says, I still won't work on my phone.
Yeah,
so
sir.
Okay.
So. The way she can
listen. Other than she can call in, and if she calls the number,
but how's she gonna call in? I got. What? She can call in and listen.
She can call in and listen. She doesn't have to push any button. So she can dial 760. Could you put the number in that little box for me?
All right.
Just let me say.
Lord, we done stopped conversation because of Derek. Just D.
It ain't because of me. I was still working. We just try to.
How are we working?
Time out. So all our listeners, I want you all to know that you all important to us. And we want to make sure that you all can all hear us. So if you cannot, please let us know, because then something is needed to do on our technical side. So this is all just, it's real. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is still us working it out. Yeah. So I want to put it out there. So, like, I don't want people to sit up there and get frustrated and say that I'm not tuning in. Because every time I try to click on it, I can't hear.
Well,
so let's keep going.
So the numbers are up for anybody that sees that can call. And, of course, again, the number is 760-683-2662. So whether or not you are able to hear from the link, you can call in and listen without having to press any numbers. Speak to the host. Just call in. You can listen that way.
Absolutely.
All right. So getting back to the dumbing down,
I did that, and I finally broke up with him. And, oh, my gosh, it was the hardest beating ever.
Why was that?
Because I wanted to make it right. I wanted to... I wanted to fix the relationship. I wanted to be his exception to the rule. I wanted him to want me as much as I wanted him, but I also wanted him to want me for who I was. Me.
But starting out, you showed him who you were.
Which is I think where I had my issues, because I was being me, the assertive, the all these things.
But do you think you were being too abrasive? Because let me say something, D-Rob, this is just D talking. You can be like Bam Bam off of the Flintstones, where it's just like you flip a motherfucker over the side down like Bam Bam Bam. Like what you got to understand, where a guy wants to be, I'm not going to say the ruler, But we have to know that we can at least be the person that is respected, and that is the person that is, finish that up on the Breeze. You know what I'm trying to go with. Where it's like with guys, like with our confidence and our yeah. just mentality.
So
it's like we have to be a certain way. But you, with you being so assertive and you being so this 100% fuck an alpha male type female, this is probably why.
Because, see, okay, and see that right there. So I want that on the record.
Yeah, put it on the record.
Write that down.
Yeah.
That comment that he just made. So I went into this story telling you mm-hmm. that I tried to change up some things.
So
now,
hold up.
So first of all, when I'm in a relationship, I am very traditional. I believe that the man is the head
right.
of the female, and that
in a relationship,
absolutely,
that's a marriage.
No. So if I'm not going to be, oh nigga, this ain't this and da da da, and I'm all myself. I'm that period.
This in a relationship.
In a relationship.
Wow.
Yes. This is what I
do. Now, that's how it should be in a marriage, but not in a relationship.
So, but regardless, with you being that way, he still, you allowed him to be the head.
Right.
Right. And he still felt so, I understand what his.
Because the whole time, this is my question.
No, I understand, but I can't understand how, with you being that way, how he still has some hang-ups, though. Like,
okay,
That's on him.
So, absolutely, yeah. That was on him, but remember, he came into the relationship saying, you're white-collar, I'm blue-collar. So, you're already feeling some type of
hierarchy.
Way.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm doing everything possible to try and make you feel like you're the one. I'm not gonna tell you all the things that I do.
What you do in the bedroom? Ah!
Ain't nobody talking about it. The bedroom, you know what I'm saying?
No, but
I'm not saying it wasn't about that. But I'm saying like
you
really,
made him feel like President Obama while y'all were dating.
No.
Okay. Well then, therefore.
No. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I don't have to. You know, like I wasn't being. What is the
submissive?
No, because I'm very submissive. Very submissive.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It seems like with you
submissive.
Tell me what you doing.
Yeah,
all of
that. I can show you, but I can tell you.
It seems like if you do all of that, nothing that you would have done.
Right. This is what I. This is
nothing
which is
could,
where
yeah.
I'm going. Uh-huh. Is that here though? Here. I spent a year and a half, almost 2 years of my life trying to make it work, you know,
Are you trying to make it work at the same time?
Some.
Okay.
And which is why, you know, I have, as you say, I'm a bam bam. So,
yeah.
I was really not being a bam bam.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Oh, Lord. Yes.
Be raw. This is my thing. Like, if you are going to mm-hmm. be totally submissive mm. from the day I meet you,
uh-huh.
girlfriend, right? Well, no, not even my girlfriend. We just meet each other. But that's not totally your personality?
No. And when it comes to my man, that's my personality.
Really?
Oh, really?
Let's talk about it.
You know what? I can't.
What you trying to do?
What was the break point when you realized that nothing that you could say or do was going to make this man happy? What was that point?
I can tell you what happened that fucked the man up. He met your representative.
No, he didn't.
He did?
No, he didn't.
He did?
No. He didn't.
No. We're gonna sound like a choir.
No, seriously, he didn't. No.
Oh, okay.
He didn't because the bam bam person, he met that person first.
And I'm glad he met that person first.
He met that person first.
Yeah.
And like I said, when we're in a relationship, like it, you get everything.
Yeah.
You get. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Baby, are you okay? Do you need this? Are you everything? Baby, let me be your bag. You need to run your bath water? Are you okay? That's me.
Are you a perfect wife?
Mm-mm. No.
On paper.
No,
that's what I'm saying. On paper. Yeah.
But I'm saying, so he met all of who I was. Then when I have my bad days or I'm frustrated or angry.
You're a bitch.
Well, I don't even know that I'm a bitch. I'm more, my personality is, let me know at least that you hear me. Hear me.
So what does he have to do to let you know that he hears you?
He don't, well, see, I'm not going to say some of the stuff that he says because it was downright disrespectful. And he is who he is. You know what I'm saying? But I overlook those things. And my point that I'm trying to make
you
is.
Overlook.
Ain't no overlooking. You got to pay attention to
okay.
all that stuff.
This
oh,
is
no,
what.
Hold on, D-Rock. Time out, D-Rock. There's no, no, I got to grab you
did
like this.
You,
I got to grab,
I
yeah.
Mean, like, he grabbed me.
Breezy, pay attention.
Like,
pay
Breezy, like, you ain't grabbed me like
pay
that.
Attention.
Why he, I don't
because
know. I need
I
to watch
I take this thing real personal. Anything that your significant other.
Can I get to what I'm trying to say?
Go ahead.
I recognize that all of those things were not good.
Mm-hmm.
But I overlooked them because this time around, I was trying to do something different. That different doesn't work for me. And it goes into the question or the topic of tonight about self-worth. What was it inside of me that made me say that how he felt about me was more important or more valuable than how I felt about myself? Because I let something go on, and my gut was screaming, saying, what's wrong with you? Like, who does this? Because, you know, as I said before, I am a bam bam. I'm not going to lie about it. I've had dudes walk away from me and tell me, I'm a goddamn man. I don't need you speaking for me. I've had dudes do that. So I recognize my role in that. So I know over the years I've had to soften that down.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm that chick that says, you acting a damn fool? Okay, you go over there and you act by yourself. I'm done. Don't call me. I will even change a number on you. Okay?
I feel you on that.
But
yeah.
In this situation, I let a year and a half go by. I started doing things financially to the point where I have to rebuild because of this dude. I have to rebuild. Who does that?
So
like,
it was
wrong?
Not worth the investment.
It totally wasn't worth the investment.
Yeah, but you know that too after it happened, right?
No, I'm, the signs were there.
But you were so in love.
I was so into.
You tried to ignore
it. I'm going to make this work.
So what made you want to make this work so hard with him?
Because I'm quick to cut a nigga off.
All right, so what made him be the one that you want to cut him off?
He won the prize.
Oh, nice.
It was that moment in life where I said, I'm going to give this one a try.
Were you dickmatized?
Do what?
Were you dickmatized?
No. And I say that because in the year and a half that we were dealing with each other.
You can't count on the
game. What you about to tell us, D-Rock?
No, I'm not going to. No, when we had some relations. It was some lovely relations. But in that year and a half, it wasn't as often as I would have preferred.
How many times you like to have sex a day? Is that often as you don't like preferred?
I can get in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day.
I give you 2 after that. You better go and get get you somebody else.
Why does he keep taking me there?
No,
like,
I'm telling you.
I don't get it.
This is amongst friends.
I'm just
you
saying.
You talk about 2, 3, 4 times
I have a very high sex drive.
But you said a day.
I have a very high sex drive.
And I understand. My penis has his own mind where he can only give you... 2 times a day.
Okay, can we?
Hard week. Well, after that, it ain't.
All right, so getting back to the story.
No, we're going to get back to the story. Go ahead, D-Rob.
So,
now I'm going to talk about all that.
So, again, my question was, what was it? Like, so now that I'm now having to take this moment or time to breathe, to find out who I am and all that kind of stuff again. It's just like, I want to know, because I know that there are other people out there who allow things like this to happen. And I just want to know, like, what was it? What was it that made you avoid the signs? I mean, you know, we can all say it was the dick or it was the sex or it was, you know, whatever. But I told you I wanted you to put a point in it. And you know how you were saying, you're the bam bam, and maybe you need to just tone it down.
Yeah.
That plays a lot into hearing or, you know, seeing like people who are in these, what appears to be these wonderful relationships that I'm not in, but
yeah.
they're in.
I
ain't and
either.
Then so you're asking your friends, you know, like, you know me.
Right.
What is it that I can do different? And the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, the first thing comes out of your mouth is, well, you're a bam bam. Tone that shit down.
Yeah.
And then maybe you won't be single. But then when I do that, I get rolled over. And it's just like, wow. Like, what do you do? Like, so I want to hear from the callers. Call us in. Call in at 760-683-2662. Tell us some of your stories. I want to hear a situation where you saw the signs. You saw the signs and you ignored them. I want to know what in your mind, like at that moment, what was it? If it was dick, if it's pussy, let me know. Like, I really want to know what was it.
And I want to answer this. This is just I had a relationship that I knew was so far past the expiration date. But the whole thing was, it was like I could not let it go. Because I had put such an investment, or what I thought was an investment, and my pride would just let me walk away. Like, there's no way I'm going to be with somebody for 8, 9, 10 years, and then we just walk away and brush our hands.
Why not?
Like, time out. It took me to go to therapy to understand that. You know what I'm saying? That you can just walk away like that. But I didn't know that then. I thought that because, you know, like, you look at a lot of people who I think and believe who are still in these long-term relationships that are far beyond the expiration date. It's because, listen, I put X, Y, Z amount of time in, so I need to get X amount of, return back. But the whole thing is, it's not based on the relationship. The whole thing was, it was based on you to grow. So you've grown and you've matured within this process. You're not the same person that you were 8, 9, 10 years ago. So appreciate the circumstance for what it was at that point in time. But definitely don't look at it from where you are now and what it was that you expect to have now. Like with me, it took me a long time to understand that it was not my fault.
I was going to say everybody's coping process is different.
Right, definitely.
So, you know, for you at that time to not, you know, be able to understand how people can walk away after so much time invested, if that doesn't make anything wrong with you, or that person just means you feel like you know gave so much of yourself, you don't have anything else to give.
Yeah.
You know, and how can you give so much of yourself, nothing to give, can just be over?
And that's what it was to me. It was like, I cannot believe this is done after literally 9 years. Like, are you really telling me this is over? Bitch, I gave you all my 20s.
Oh.
You can't come at me.
So,
29 and a half, and tell you after I gave you from 20, literally 20 to 29 and a half, I gave you every single year of my 20s, then now we done.
Okay, so at 20.
At 20 when I met
the
bitch. I still need therapy on that one to stop calling her a bitch. But when I'm 20 when I met the bitch.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at 21 and 22.
I was in it.
Hold up. So my question to you is, there were not signs?
There's always signs.
Okay, so
I didn't recognize those signs, though.
Okay,
I was too young.
You didn't recognize them.
And see, the whole thing is, at 20, 21, 22, even probably up to 26, 27, you still living that young-ass life.
Oh, so, okay, right. So at 20, 21, 22, you're still you're living this young life. Why are you in a relationship?
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Okay, well, you ask any 21 or 22-year-old that think that they are not an adult at 21, 22. Now, we know better because of our age
now.
No,
I'm saying at 21, 22.
But at
21,
22, did you think you were an adult?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so that's why they...
Well, no, I'm saying you were living the college life, the full experience.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if you're living that, why are you in a relationship?
This is hindsight. Now, this is what you say.
No,
10 years later. But
no, I'm not saying...
Hey, Rob, think about it. When you were in college at 21... Did you not think that you were enough or mature enough to handle a relationship? Keep it 100. Keep it 100.
And I am keeping it 100 because I believe that during that time, because at 23, I was married.
Right.
But here's my thing. I felt that I was an adult because at 17, when I graduated, my mom said, I want to send you to college. I can't afford it. I'd love you to go, but you're going to have to work and do what you have to do. So I had to go out there and grind and live the life of a grown person. I had to work and go to school and make decisions. You know, so I wasn't living the college life like you or even breathing have been doing. I was working.
But let me say this.
And so, yes, you know, if I'm trying to build a life, yes, I'm thinking about marriage.
But does work make you more mature as far as relationship
having
goals.
To provide for myself and think about
no,
my future.
Emotionally,
less because I'm working and I'm professing for my future.
That's
professionally.
That's
professionally.
But I'm still thinking to myself, yeah. I can't be partying. I can't be doing all this crazy stuff. I got to think about my future. If I'm 21 and I'm working, I got to think about the savings that I have for my kids. I have to think about 401k, especially when my mom is saying, I need you to get you a job. Stop jumping around. That's the era when people were keeping jobs for 20 and 40 and 30. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on. We're the same age.
Well, no, but we're not the same age.
How many different years are
you? I'm from several years.
Well, I'm saying, like, in our generation is not the same generation that stays at a job.
Right.
For 20,
and you're
50,
absolutely
50,
right.
Years.
I'm not saying that that's not what I wanted to do or even that I aspire to do, but I was thinking about it because it's what my mom was saying. You need to sit down. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I'm coming
from
the church.
You're country.
That's a Southern mother for you.
Well, that's because you're country.
Well,
yes,
whether
yes.
I'm country or not, you're asking me what I'm thinking mentally. I am thinking about my future at 21 because at 17, all of that plan, all that at 18, that had to be gone. We need to get on the grind.
I was throwing my real oats.
So why would...
See what I'm saying? I wasn't
exactly.
doing that.
Yeah, so why would...
I wasn't
why would
doing
you
that.
Have that even mentality? Like, you're not even mature enough to handle that.
Because who else am I giving it to? My mom just said, look, you got to go.
You can go.
But you
I'm
got to go, and you need to
married
work.
Now
you need to be working. Right, so, you need to be providing. You need to be on it. So stuff. What is the problem? I can't take care of you.
So let me ask you a question. Yes, D. You gave this person your whole 20s.
All of them.
All
the
of
whole decade.
The whole decade.
Okay. So my question is, why end it badly? Did you ever stop to think at any time during that decade that maybe...
Hold on. Let me do it like this. Ask each question in part so that I can give you the whole gamut of everything. So just ask me the first question. Why did it end?
No.
I want to give you the whole gambit of it. Go
I want to know why it lasts the whole decade. 20s.
Okay.
Of all the decades, why did it last the whole decade?
I was fucking stupid.
For a whole decade, though?
Let me tell you. No. Hold on. Time out. I tried to break this relationship off 4 different times. Every time I tried to break it off, the bitch made me feel guilty. I went back.
Okay, and so why?
And
she was a celebrity stalker. Wait.
Yeah.
But why?
She was a celebrity stalker.
Okay, no.
I ain't never had to break it to my Yahoo account outside of her.
Okay, well, she had.
No, I don't even know how to do it.
I don't
know how to do it.
You know
no, it was information. But, no, go
but
ahead.
My question is, you were. She manipulated you.
Manipulating. That's
okay.
A perfect word to use.
Okay. So you allowed yourself to be manipulated.
I didn't know I was being manipulated then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing in you said, this doesn't feel right.
I told you, I tried to break her four times.
Okay, so my thing is, four times.
Yeah.
Something didn't feel right.
I'm gonna tell you how the bitch did it. Let me tell you how the bitch did it.
She was
connected to my friends, right?
No.
Hold on, listen, hear me out.
Okay.
She was connected to my friends.
Okay.
So whenever I would do them, she would connect my friends and let my friends know my wrongdoings. My friends would hit me talking about some, oh, dirt. Why blip just hit me up for this? That won't write what you did. And I'm sitting up there like, yo, what the fuck? You know, so how did this work? Well, it was because she deserved an Academy Award. Like, the whole thing is, like, I'm telling you honestly, only thing she could do was use the quote-unquote innocence that they thought she had against me. Now, me, I was always the person that was known as the cheater. So that was my downfall. But they didn't know how crazy this hoe was. I'm trying to tell you. Grace and mercy. That's all we asked for from Jesus. That's all we asked for from Jesus, grace and mercy. And so they understand it.
Okay, and I get they understand it.
They did
and,
not.
Well, I get it. Yeah. I get that there was some manipulation. I get that
a lot of manipulation. Ain't no some.
Okay.
A lot.
There was a lot of manipulation. Yeah. There were you were young and and by your account and your account only, you said you were stupid.
I was.
And so
stupid as a damn motherfucker.
Okay. And so I'm just trying to get to so we're gonna let those be the root of why
I stayed for 9 years.
That, well, not even that you stayed. What I'm trying to get.
That's why I say.
Well, no, what I'm trying to get to the point of is that 9 years, you allowed your worth to be determined by someone else.
I absolutely did.
And so for 9 years,
I absolutely
you
did.
Had issues with self-worth.
Yep.
And so your reasons for your decline in your worth were because you were young and stupid
and
manipulated. That was manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Breezy.
We're gonna
bring it back around, but I want everybody if there is anyone out there who would like to chime in.
Because
tell
I'm
your
sure
story.
There's some other people
and,
out there.
And there are.
That have been in relationships far beyond
their
expiration
date.
And it was just all some bullshit, and you don't even understand why you stayed now that you look at it, but yeah.
I mean, but I believe that even in those relationships, it flows over into our regular day-to-day of how we think and how we operate and stuff like that. You know, like if you're in a 9-year relationship where someone has taken over your worth, you know, then when you when you're at work and your boss says you should do this and then there's a little bit of manipulation, you go ahead and again give your self-worth over to someone else. And so I want us to kind of put a spotlight on the things that make us say we're not important or that make us feel less than.
Good stuff.
We can make those things, you know, like in the face, you know, like, hey, here it is. Whenever I'm feeling this, hey, I heard Just D or I heard D Rob or even Breezy. This is a red flag, run, Forrest, run. You know, like I really want to bring these things to the surface. I don't want to, you know, my intention is never, you know, like even in telling my
right.
you know, in my telling my story, I'm not trying to degrade the guy that I was with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm sure that there were probably things that he felt I was doing that made him feel less than. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to point out the things, you know, like how do we push the stop button so that we don't continue on. Like, what is that thing? Like, what is that root issue? So what are those things? You know, like, I feel like there's some type of
underlying issue.
Right, that's prevalent in everyone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
You know what? My story is a little, you know, different from yours and just these, but it did make me question my self-worth for a different reason.
Okay.
It's never been a secret. I have not always been, you know, the best or most faithful of boyfriends and husband.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, little backstory. It's not nearly as traumatic as yours too. So I'm adopted.
Okay.
I know of my biological family. I'm not really cool with the person who gave birth to me. I never met my biological dad. But from what I hear, he was a ladies' man. And he died some 12 years before I met my biological family, my mom's side. And so he's not really here to, you know, confirm, but, you know, we're not sure if he has 13 or 15 kids, with me being the second to the baby, no matter what number it is. And so, you know, by six different women.
Okay.
So in hearing this, I can't.
It's a story about your dad on a yonder fix my life.
Right. Yeah, yeah, no, right.
And the guy that had 37 kids. You saw that, right?
Right. And, yeah. And so hearing this, I never judged the man because he gave me life. I never met him. He's dead. But I was like, you know what? I didn't want to be like that. You know what I mean? Because I was raised in a two-parent household with my father, my mother. You know what I mean? And I saw what I thought is how a two-parent household should go. So I'm like, I don't want to be like that. Well, when I got, you know, my own place, you know, I kind of went buck wild. You know, y'all know, I don't have to go in detail. You know, a couple times a week, whatever.
Hmm.
You know, sometimes, you know, twice, you know,
twice
a day.
Twice on Sunday.
Or what have you. And so I find myself, you know, judging my dad. Like, here I am doing the same things that he's doing. Mm-hmm. But I'm not populating small cities and towns, though.
Okay.
You know.
I can do.
And so this one incident that happened, I was, I cheated on my girlfriend at the time. And,
well, wait, question. Mm-hmm. Did you feel guilty after you cheated, or was it just a nut?
No. At that time, I was like 21, 22. I didn't know anything about it.
Right?
Yeah, hey,
exactly. All right, go ahead.
But,
Continue your story.
You know, something happened, and the chick was supposedly pregnant.
Oh.
So she found out at 5 months. So for the last 4 months, I'm thinking it's mine. So the day of, the baby was supposed to be born on this particular Saturday. So I just called on Thursday just to check up on her because it ain't close to the day. And her aunt over like, oh, you ain't here? Like, here what? It's like, oh, she had the baby this morning. I was like, no, I'm calling. So I leave work. I go to the hospital, you know, because of maternity ward and everything. And I go and check on her. It's like, you know, why didn't let me know? I was told not to. I was like, why? Who said that?
She said what?
She said, who said it's your child?
Oh. You did.
Well, for the last 4 months,
yeah.
This is the information I went on. Mm. So that's like, you know, whatever. So I go out, you know, to the maternity ward, you know, look at what I thought up to that day was my child. And this nappy headed dude staring me up and down, but I'm right here. I'm right here with mine, you know what I'm saying? You know, then I get escorted out. So that was kind of for me, like, okay, well, you can just try saying so.
Yeah, she tried to play.
So that kind of, you know, left a stain, you know, even though I was wrong for cheating. But I was like, somebody could do that without any work. Fast forward. I'm married. Love at first sight. No, love at first sight.
I thought we said, so it was lust at first
sight. No, I'll tell you. My wife. It was love at first sight.
Gotcha.
And before then, I was still, you know, bobbing and weaving. And this right here, you know, I obviously put a stop to that. I felt good about that. You know, I'm with somebody, I'm happy, I'm not cheating anymore, I'm good. Well, that ain't last for that long. We have the Caribbean, and this is one island girl. I mean, pursue me like for 4 months. I said no for 4 months, but that's why I got weak.
How long were you there?
I was there for you.
Oh, okay. So she should pursued you for 4 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get where I'm going with this, right?
I said, but, you know, I can't blame it all on her. I mean, I was when they gave it. And so.
What island was this? No, what island was this? I don't know.
Dominica.
All right. I said Dominica.
No, Dominica.
It's spelled D-O-M-I-N-I-C-A.
Yeah, but it's not Dominican Republic, though. It's Dominica.
I've been to Dominica. Oh, it's called Dominica.
It's called Dominica.
It's called Dominica. I mean,
so we're not going to go back and forth on what
the movie is. All right,
so anyway,
what made me question myself and my self-worth is, while, yes, I love, my wife, as much as I would like to blame it on old habits die hard, I purposely, I purposely chose to do this thing, and it made me feel like I was the worst person, ever, so it made me challenge, made me think less of myself, because, this is my wife, and while I do love her, I'm stepping out, I'm cheating on her.
So your wife was from Dominica?
No, was there for school.
You went to what?
Was there for school.
Oh, okay, good shit.
So like I said, what maybe question my worth was my doggish and cheating ways. I feel like I was the worst thing in school.
You was a dog.
And I felt that.
That's my homie.
And I felt that.
It's still my dog.
And I felt like, and why everybody, had to forgive themselves, and then we talked, and she forgave me, but I still, of everybody, I still, it made me question myself more, because,
Let me ask you, D-Rob.
Which I said is not as traumatic as you all, but it made me question my self-worth, and tonight's show is about self-worth.
It is.
And questioning your own self-worth.
No, it is. I have other questions, but...
Okay, look. No, go ahead.
Was there ever a point, because I know that you started the conversation off with, who your dad was and how he was a Rolling Stone. So my question was there ever a point in your life where you felt like you were not worthy to be an upstanding man because that was who your father was?
For a time, I did believe in the generational, quote-unquote, generational curse.
So you don't believe that anymore?
I don't believe it anymore. I made the decision to. I made the decision. It was because of, who
Amen
he is
that.
And what he did. But at that time, the one thing I did not want to do, the one person I did not want to be like, was for sure the person that I was becoming and doing and the things I were doing. So I thought. So the one thing I was trying to run from is actually the thing I was running to.
Okay. I can dig it. That's honest right there. That's honest right there. Breezy just put it out there 100.
I'm just
speaking
that. You remember his trilogy, The King.
Okay.
Because of what his father's feelings.
Right.
He felt like that he couldn't because of what his father did.
Right.
Well, mine wasn't on the epic, level.
But I felt like that.
You know what I'm saying? That's exactly how I feel.
Because it was epic because it hindered you.
Yeah. And to this day, last time I spoke to the person that gave birth to me, she had 3 boys. She had 3 with him. And she told me, and I actually thanked her for this.
Your mom that actually gave birth to you, that's what
mm-hmm.
you said?
Okay. Yeah. She said, of my 3 sons, I'd like you to leave. And apparently I looked the most and remind her the most of the bad stuff.
I'm sorry. Let me make sure I hear that correctly.
She said, of my 3 sons.
I like you to leave.
I was the one giving away. I was the middle. She kept grandma raised the oldest and the baby. I was the one giving away. So she never saw me again until I was 19. Cut the umbilical cord. I was the ward of the state of Colorado. And so that really made me question myself. Where like, damn, this person did such, these things to her. And because of, my height and how I resemble him.
Doug, let me just tell you. Seriously, for you to be standing you are right now to sit up there and shit that.
Yeah,
this person
had this effect on this other person. And I'm the one that's being, blamed. Not blamed, but... it's shit trickles downhill, or rolls. However that saying goes, so I'm the one that's being.
So I just want to make sure I hear correctly, and I'm not gonna bring this back up again. She said she likes you the least.
Yeah, Oh. And this is only after, you know, 2.5 years of knowing me.
Yeah, you get it, dog. We tight. I'm telling you,
And she would say that I had his mannerisms. You know, I don't know how I had his mannerisms. I never meant to do. You know, apparently
she didn't like you because you reminded
her of him.
Her of him.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then one of the things she didn't like, you know, I have a mom. You know, so you know, I didn't feel comfortable calling the person that gave birth to me mom because my mom I love and you know has been there. So, you know,
I didn't call her by her first name.
I
didn't. Especially when you say stuff like that. You address her.
Right. And she said, oh, that's standoffish, i.e. like my dad was. So stuff like that, you know, then I would be the one that had to.
Dog, you definitely can tell a story to somebody else that will be very, I'm saying, impactful and everything like this. Like, I'm just hearing this now, and it's like it's blowing me away.
And so before she told me, how she really felt about me. And I thanked her. Because that was probably the only honest thing that she told me up to that point. Because she gave me 5 reasons why she gave me for adoption.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the only thing. And I thanked her. And I thanked her for it.
She gave you 5 different reasons why she gave you adoption. That's the only thing that stuck with you.
That was the only honest thing.
That she said. That stuff.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I fully believed. So I heard about his being wrong stone ways. I heard that you used to like to fuss a lot, but first, you know, saying that's kind of the first time me hearing about what kind of person that he was, at least to her.
But explain your testimony, how have you overcome that to the person you are today now?
Couple things. So, I talked to my parents. You know, my parents, you know, they raised me.
That raised you.
And actually, you know what? I'm back to my memory banks because even to this day, I do not have abandonment issues. I never had time or reason. My parents gave me, you know, the love, the attention, affection that most biological kids would be jealous of. So I never felt, you know, why me. Yeah. And so despite, you know, what this person feels about me, because somebody else did, I know that I'm a...
You love.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I know love. I know that at least...
Somebody cares.
Somebody thinks I'm a good person.
Yeah.
You know, and so then I had to forget, you know, that, and then, you know, the things that I did, I stopped saying, oh, well, I guess I'm just like that. So, no, I reconciled myself. Those are the decisions that I chose to make.
All right, D-Rock, yeah, I'm going to keep going on Breezy. So, what's your next question?
You said you had a question for me. You forgot.
I forgot. I got so wrapped up in that
conversation.
No, that's
fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Got a little off track just there. Y'all can give us a call, 760-683-2662. Join in on the conversation. So I've been reading this book, and it's called What I Know for Sure, and it's written by Oprah Winfrey. And it's actually a really good book. What is he saying?
No.
So it's a really good book, and God, it was one of the things that really, I don't know, it spoke a lot to me, you know, going through my own little breakup or whatever you want to call it. And she said that, you know, because I've always felt like, oh, my gosh, you know, like there are certain people that you want to meet. And I was given the opportunity to meet Oprah, so I'm really excited about. I was excited about that.
Hold on.
But I wasn't.
Hold on. Let me cut you off. Because I'm real mad that you met Oprah and you didn't invite me. Because everybody that knows me knows I love Oprah.
Okay.
I love her.
So the fact that
I wasn't been there, and you all got to take a picture with her. We smell like all that. So I want to know all details of that.
So yeah. So I've always wanted to, you know, like one of the things that I said that I wanted to do if I ever.
Like that.
I'm still not going to talk to you about that
perfume. I'm not doing that.
So I'm going to keep going.
All right, go ahead.
But one of the things, you know how you say, you know, you've seen the little Facebook statuses or whatever, you know, like if you could meet people or whatever, who would they be and what would you ask?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I've always wanted to meet. There's several people that I wanted to meet, Oprah being one of them. You know, but I wanted to know, like, what her success, you know, like, what those fear moments, what was it that made you propel to the next level? And so I'm reading this book, and it's, you know, it's a really page turner, and she said something that was so profound. She said that she was dealing with this guy, and they were supposed to go out on a date, and he was late. And he wasn't late. He, like, canceled, but showed up later. So he comes to the door, and he says to her, after, you know, right before he leaves, because he doesn't stay, even though she was still trying to give excuses of why, you know, she should still deal with him or whatever, he said before leaving, he said, the problem that you have is that you think you're special. And he left. And I'm like, you know, well, that's pretty fucked up. That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
But what she said later was even more mind-blowing. And she said what he didn't realize is that the problem was I didn't think I was special. And I was like, wow, Oprah Winfrey didn't feel special? You know, like, here it is, you know, everybody is, you know, you hear women, females saying, I'm a boss, I'm this, you know, I'm an independent, I'm all this, I'm the shit, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But really, your actions say that you're not
That's
special.
That's a facade. And if you have to say what you are, chances are you are not. You have to proclaim your actions to show.
I don't necessarily agree with that. Because sometimes I can feel it and believe it, and I'm saying it.
But your actions
right.
show it, though. So you don't know.
This is just deep talking right here. Because I want to make sure that we all differentiate our comments so everybody knows who to cuss out. Because they're going to cuss us out individually. But I agree with what D-Rob is saying, and I also agree with what you're saying. This is me. As growing up as a kid, I've always had that outgoing personality. But my insecurities always overshadowed it because I didn't want nobody to basically, I don't want to say too much because they'd be able to point me out. And they will be able to sit up there and talk about me more. Growing up as a kid, I got teased a lot. I have situations where, you know what I'm saying, people tried to pick on me a lot. Which made me have to get in altercations a lot when I was younger. Like, I'm saying, like, fifth grade to, like, maybe, like, ninth grade. Why would you just have to fight just because, like, I just started coming from private school into public school. So I was the proper guy. But whatever Oprah's saying right now, I hear that and I feel that because it's like I receive it because I definitely feel what she said. Read that last sentence again that she said because that's the most impactful thing she said about that whole post. Read the last sentence again.
Well, I wasn't reading. I was paraphrasing what she said. But what it was she said the problem wasn't that she thought that she was special. The problem was that she didn't feel she was special.
And that's what it was. That's what it was. Like, I don't care what nobody said to me. It didn't make me feel any better about myself.
So let me ask you. You come from your parental unit. I think that's so cute. But you come from people who support you, who believe in you, who want nothing from the best from you. So where did you get these feelings of you're not worthy?
Pierce. Because you... Hold on, you asked me a question.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. We have our peers, but then we also have our family.
My family was 27. My family was a week. My family was But I had to go to school every day. You all don't understand. Transition. Kind of like people that's. But I was up until I was in the fifth grade. So when I switched over in the public school, I had this I guess we was like property. All I'm trying to do is go to school. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not with you. This is what I'm like. Would you come to me like? Oh, you know, it took me for a probably until I was when I really got my sure confidence in myself. Like, fuck you. Long time. That's why when people call me and they said to talk to me on Instagram, Facebook, they'd be like, you come across. I wasn't scared to fight. I didn't like to fight.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing was, like, why pick on me? I was always a small dude. I was always a dude with braces. I was always a dude with glasses, all this other stuff. So a lot of stuff that I've gone through when I was younger, that when I see younger kids go through, it's just like, look, this is what you're not going to do. You're not going to be asking them.
You know what? To answer your question,
okay.
Yes, your family, they're going to tell you what you want to hear. Oh, you're special. And you are special.
That's not what you want to hear. That's what they know.
No, but still, you want to hear that. But when you're out in with the streets, you know, kids, they find the worst things to pitch you about. And won't, it's like a thread. They don't get at you each and every day. They're going to push you around verbally or physically. You know, so it's like a battle. You're hearing this at home, but then at work, but at school, you hear just the opposite, worse. So that can let somebody take you. When you get home, your mom is like, oh, baby, you special, special. You catch the street, like, man, you ain't shit. You ain't this. Look how you dress. Look how you did. Did your mama buy that for you? And your mama tell you you look nice. Mm-hmm. And the clothes that she bought for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that has happened. That's happened to some of my homeboys that we've had to, take up a slack for them. You know, I done got in a hell of a fight to school because somebody picked on the homeboys. No, but see, where we were, like, dude, this is my dude. This is a good dude right here. You're not gonna pick on this dude, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna stand for it. I've never been a bully. You know what I'm saying? I've never been a bully, and I'm standing for it now. And it's one that you're not gonna do. So, you know, maybe I didn't have to, but that's how. Even though you get at home, that's how that could, you know, affect someone's psyche. Because at school, you got kids, and you know, you probably with kids more than the day you are with your family. So that's to answer your question. You know, I'm not sure that's what happened to Justine, but that's how it could happen to some kids.
All right, okay. Okay. I got that. Okay. So we've had our own issues of doubting ourselves and thinking less of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the setbacks that, you know, like you were so affected that it just met, I mean, like it totally took you back, like really, or maybe it did.
Well, I can address that. From my standpoint, as far as when I had went through that 9-year relationship, I can tell you that my friends who are probably listening right now can let you know that was a crazy time in my life. I went to therapy for it.
There's
nothing wrong with therapy, and I'm going to let people know it was the best thing for me, just D, talking right now, because it's one thing to get insight from your friends. It's one thing to get insight from your family, but it's totally different to get it from somebody who does not know you, who can give you an unbiased opinion. And yes, we can all take it to Jesus in prayer, but there are some things that you need to be addressed right now. So it's honest and it's pure. And I don't feel bad about it, but what I can say, what I learned from it, is that the whole grieving thing, as far as there's no timeline on it, where somebody may grieve and they can be over it in a month, and somebody else may grieve and may take 9 or 10 months, 2 years or 3 years, however it may take, it's your own process. And I also learned that it's good to write your feelings down.
Mm-hmm.
You can write them in a journal, because and you write the journal is as you're talking to the person. So you write them like you're writing to letters to the person, so that you don't send them, mm-hmm. but you just say write them like you're writing them to that person. And that's also that's very good. But shut it down. Let somebody else, so I don't overtalk conversation.
I'm gonna let you go first. Well, second, Eva.
Don't let me go. I'm the one who's asking the question.
You still got to answer yourself, right?
I will, depending on what you're saying. Because I may want to move on past the conversation. I want to move on and get into something else.
It didn't really. Send me back, at least not long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay. So if it didn't set you back, what are some of the things that you've done to reveal the view of yourself?
To know that I'm in control of my actions, that nothing anybody else can say or do, or somebody, especially somebody I haven't met, and no excuses. You know, it's me. So whatever happens, it's on me. And when I'm forcing in tough decisions, you know, as best I can to make the right decision. And to know, no matter what decision I make, you know, despite what somebody may think, you know, I'm a pretty decent person. I have to forgive myself. Self-forgiveness, if nothing else. If nobody else forgives you, you got to forgive yourself.
Okay.
So what is the realm is when you start to forgive yourself? Because you got to look at it. It took me to go to therapy. So when do you start forgiving yourself based off of decisions you've made? Like, seriously. Like, when does it go from it's not them no more, it's me?
Well, you know, like I mentioned a couple weeks ago.
You've been in a relationship for 9 years.
All right, here we go.
No, I'm just...
Now,
I'm
you
not,
know what, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that no matter what I'm faced with,
uh-huh.
I think about the consequences, or, you know, I think about what's the outcome, regardless. If I choose to do the wrong thing, if I choose to do the right thing. If I do the wrong thing, well, you know, I suffer consequences. It's on me.
You made the wrong thing, though.
Oh, you know what you're doing
when
wrong.
It doesn't feel
yeah,
right.
You know what you're doing wrong. I
no,
know what I'm doing wrong. Like cheating.
Wrong.
Cheating. If I know cheating is wrong, I still cheat. That's the wrong thing. I'll just use that example. You know
I'm
what I'm
forward.
Saying? You know, that's the wrong thing. If you are in a relationship, that is the wrong thing.
Question.
Right?
It is the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's also, you know what your gut feeling is. Mm-hmm. And in Breezy's situation, when he was questioning his worth, it was because of the actions he was making. Whereas when you and I were talking about things that made us feel less than, it was because someone else was saying or doing something that made us feel less than.
Good.
And so...
Yeah.
My thing is, yes, you make a decision. It's almost like you're making the decision to stand up for yourself. It's believing the things that you know to be true. What I know for truth is that I'm a good person. What I know for truth is that I'm very objective. So when you're telling me that I'm being selfish, when I know that I'm objective,
mm-hmm.
and I try and look at all situations.
My thing. I'm very objective. I'm very, D-Rod, you got to me. I'm very objective. Hey, cut off her mic.
I don't know.
No, I'm very objective.
No, but it's those things, you know, it's those things that you know to be true for yourself. And that's one of the things that, you know, like Oprah was saying in her book, and she goes over
Oprah.
And over and over again.
I love Oprah.
She would say different things, what she knew for sure. So what I know for sure is that I'm a loving person.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come and you tell me or try to beat me down that I'm not loving you and that I'm taking you for granted and stuff like that, I can stop it and say, this is not true.
Exactly. Well, ask me your next question, because I want to answer this. Because we got
what you mean?
14 minutes to go, and I want to get all these questions out here. I want to get all them out here. Because, no, because I got 9 years of a shit up in Mimi.
And you're going to deal with that.
Yeah.
You're going to deal with that. One of the other things is, so what do you do to build yourself? And
what's the
no.
Four?
She's well, gotta give us the waiting to exhale stuff.
No, I wasn't gonna give you any waiting to exhale.
Go ahead, Dee, give it to us.
It is. Okay, I'll say this.
Give me the number again.
And 760-683-2662. Call us. You still have time to get into the conversation with us. Hey, we just got retweeted. Whoop, whoop. Right, I'm all excited and
keep
stuff.
Keep
right. Since we're winding down and we want to be able to efficiently wrap things up, I'd like for us to go around and for you to share, you know, there are some self-sabotaging behaviors that we have, especially when we're dealing with lack of self-worth and what have you. So what are some of those, you know, like kind of tell some of the people. I know, Derek, you're still dealing with your 9 year, and you're using counseling and stuff like that. Are there other things that you would like to share to the Amongst Friends family in regards to how they can, you know, kind of put a stop sign on the...
I'm just going ahead and say this. And this is just me speaking. When you see a flag, address the flag. This is where you can start putting, I guess, a Band-Aid on
I don't want you to put no Band-Aid on nothing.
Okay, that's a question.
Well,
right.
I don't want you to put a Band-Aid.
I don't want us to put Band-Aid.
We got to start with a Band-Aid. It has to heal with the Band-Aid.
I want you to heal with the
Band-Aid.
Let it get some fresh air.
No. It don't heal that way. You gotta heal. We gotta heal the bend.
Aloe vera oil.
You gotta heal
it
with the Band-Aid first.
Honest about the situation.
Yeah. I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Be 100.
When you see a red flag, run.
He didn't say run. He said address it.
Okay. Well, I misheard. Because I would say we all have red flags to the other person.
Right.
Yeah, I said address it.
Okay.
Yeah, address
all right.
It.
All right.
Oh, yes, what you was going to say. Well, you was like, wait, can't be running.
Yeah, because, see, when we're playing, we all be lonely motherfuckers, huh?
Right.
Oh, no, I said address it. But go ahead, do you, Breezy?
No, that was just wanted to ask that question.
Well, Breezy has said a couple of times, you know, it's recognizing your own truth or...
Yeah, just recognize, no matter what people think of you...
That's hard.
What should matter to you is what you think of yourself.
What should matter to you. That's a good quote.
That's what should be more important. The only opinion of you that should matter is what you have for yourself.
Wait, what did you say again?
I said no matter what people think of
you. No matter.
What people think of you.
What people think of you.
It should only matter. What should matter is what you think of yourself.
What you think of yourself is what should matter.
And the reason why I say should is because, you know...
How do you get to that place? How do you get there where but I'm saying, how do you get confident in self? Where does that come from? Where does it stem from? How do we build that? How do you build this inner self?
Because
what are
you
going
through shit that I went through for 9 years. So then, therefore... At the end of the day,
a truthful look at yourself. Because you know what? After 9 years, you're still standing. You still here. You probably progressed. You know what I'm saying?
That's my homie right there, and that's him telling you. And that's how you do it. That's how you do it.
And just like, you know.
So you're saying just live through it.
You're gonna have to.
Live through it.
You're gonna have
to. But that doesn't make me confident.
Why the hell you ain't confident 9 years and you going
through
bullshit?
No, but I'm saying, if the fact that you know you can stand tall.
But this is the thing. I don't feel tall in this moment.
Hey, you might not feel tall in the moment right now.
Okay.
Baby, you need a hug.
That's what I'm saying. While I'm going through, how do I push through?
9 years? You don't feel confident after 9 years?
No.
Tina Turner turned over a river. And
okay.
She gave everything
and what
back.
I'm saying is,
everything back, back, back.
Justy.
Yeah.
You went through for 9 years. People have been in abusive relationships for much longer. And during.
Oh,
listen to what
I'm trying to
listen
understand.
Listen to what I'm saying. Hold
when
on.
When do you get the point?
I'm going to just.
Go ahead. To just.
Hey, no,
go
I,
ahead.
I,
go
I,
ahead.
I,
go
I
ahead.
Can't
go
tell.
Ahead.
I can't tell.
No, I'm talking
I can't tell
over.
Anybody else other than. You know, live through it. Obviously, don't live, you know, through again your ass beat for 10, 15 years. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you live and learn. You recognize what signs, you know, and what you won't stand for anymore. You know what you're not going to.
How do you do that? If I don't think I'm shit because someone has for the last 9 years treated me like shit. So right now, coming out of nine years, I don't feel like I'm shit. I'm asking. What can I do to help?
It may take counsel.
More.
It may take talking to family members.
Yeah, I hear what
members.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's take counsel.
It may take counsel. It may talk to family members. It may talk to your priest. You know, and there is no one thing.
My priest told me he do.
If he say he ain't shit, then he might need to get his license revoked.
But
there is no one thing.
And you can't find yourself in 9 years. It's going to take much more than this radio show to help you out.
Well, I'm just saying you could point them in the right direction.
Counseling. I've said it 15 times.
Family
what I'm going to do is raise your voice at
night. I will raise my damn voice.
And you better take several feet.
Bam, 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 and spoken.
You know, talking to people that actually love you.
Right.
You know.
But what happens when the value... Or the words are coming from those who love us. I mean, like a perfect example is your biological mom saying that of all of my kids, you're the one I like the least. That's not very encouraging.
No, but by that time, I already had the confidence that I needed. Because you know, in my situation, when you meet in the family, it could go one or two ways. It could go a good way, it could go a bad way. But still, I know that no matter what way I'm loved, I am a good person, a special person. It's probably how it could go. It's probably what about things for me. And I can't tell you that there is no right when there is a right and there is a wrong way, but there is no one way.
I think that's what I wanted to get at is that there is no one way, but it is about loving upon yourself. It is about, again, saying what you know for sure. You know, like if you are coming out of that relationship for 9 years, one of the things that you know for sure is, guess what? I made it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's the simple thing.
Do you all see Antoine Fisher?
I did.
And you see when he when he met the foster family, and he told him, no matter what you do, you try to break me. He said, but I'm still here.
I'm still standing.
And she tried to break, not only tried to break, take the skin off his ass, he tried to break his, literally. And he said, I'm still here. And it took him, you know, it took him joining the Navy, seeing the world, took him writing poetry, and it took counseling. So for everybody to get that, the road to recovery, it's going to take some bumps and bruises, but you have to have faith that it can lead you there.
It can happen.
It's just not going to be smooth.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
It can happen.
Right. So we are getting ready to close out this conversation. I really appreciate Justy and Breezy for keeping it 100 with our listeners about a very serious topic where it affects more people than you even realize. I know that we talked about relationships, but you know, sometimes that when we are not feeling our best, it, like I said earlier, it carries on into our everyday lives, whether it be at work, whether it be, you know, how we handle our friends and stuff like that. And I don't know. I just wanted to kind of to point out to people that, you know, every day that you wake up, you have an opportunity to be or live your best life. You know what I'm saying? It's all about making a choice. It's all about, mm-hmm. you know, just being up and putting one foot in front of the other.
You have to choose to be happy.
That's it. Yeah, you have to. You have to choose to be happy.
Yeah, it's all about choices.
Yeah.
That's like an underlining
statement. Yeah, cool.
For me. It's all about choices.
People used to get mad at Mary J. because she was doing her whole record based on the fact she was angry at that point. But she chose to be happy. And so she didn't get the same fan base.
Yeah, because people, they say misery like company.
Misery loves company. But I'm going to tell you like this. I chose to be happy a long time ago. So if you want to be miserable, delete me.
Right, be miserable, yeah. You damn
self. I don't want you to delete me.
I want you
to. I'm going to try to hold you up. I'm going to try to lift you up. You ain't going to break my back doing it.
Yeah, delete me. If you got it, you want me to be unhappy, I can't help thee.
Oh, no.
What happened?
Oh, no.
What happened?
Nothing.
Oh.
Jesus.
You were saying something.
Jesus?
You saw something. You don't want to read something.
I don't.
Well, read it.
No.
Read it.
It ain't about reading, Jesus.
Read it. I want to see it.
No.
I'm sorry.
You don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it. Like that, I don't want to see it.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Facebook is a absolute mess.
All right.
And that's all I'm going to say on that. 760-683-2662. You can always reach us on Twitter at @amongst_friends. You can hit us up on our Facebook page and also our Facebook group, which is Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show. We are there all day, every day, all days of the week.
Right.
So you can hit us up. If there are any topics that you would like us to address, please hit us up and say, hey, when are we going to talk about X, Y, Z? And let's see.
We got 2 minutes left. So.
We got 2 minutes left.
Yeah, so where can the people find D-Rock outside of Amongst Friends?
I don't want y'all to find me outside. No, I'm joking. you can also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter account is TX2DCDiva. You can find me there on Twitter and also on Instagram. And you can also hit me up, like I said, in the Facebook group and on our Amongst Friends page or even on Amongst_Friends. And
well, you can find me on Twitter as well at Bridget Taylor. Corner Politics, one word. .org. Hit me up on my Corner Politics, #1.
You got to spell Breezy for me, though.
Breezy, B-R-E-A-Z-Y, Taylor. And, check me out at Breezy Taylor and at Corner Politics on Twitter. And, of course, you know, check me out on the Amongst Friends, both pages. I respond every now and then. I post some questions and some things here.
Hit us up. We're posting questions all week, and you can also hit up Just D. You can find him on Amongst Friends page and in the group. He is always there for you to give a little insight. Big shout out to Code Red Flag for being a big supporter of Amongst Friends. Much love. And so we'll see y'all next week. We appreciate y'all.
Have a happy Thanksgiving. But hold on, it's next week, though. But next week is Thanksgiving show. Fry them turkeys. Get them turkeys ready.
I'm coming over to my house.
Yeah, I understand.